Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on Kaya959.co.za. Kaya Talk.
People are really divided on a lot of things.
Monday to Thursday.
Transformational change.
Become more of a socialist.
7 to 9 p.m.
Sis Cooks, when it comes to helping the municipality, that's why I want to Sis Cooks, you report the pothole, you report the leak, you report the itepi run, you report the manza run, stratin. How they take their time, sister? I'm telling you, yo, HIV, sister, HIV, they need to step up, like, on a serious note, where they get the community involved, nababe involved. Otherwise, lengelewen, sister. HIV, I'm sorry to say, but HIV. Asim koti, asim potholu, yakupu, akshiwa kunjalo. HIV, sister.
Mlungis, It is very difficult, especially when it comes to municipalities. Bad financial management, services not being delivered adequately, and that does raise concerns for us as South Africans. If you want to be like Mlungisi, you certainly can. Send us your voice note on 063-688-0959. Essentially, Mlungisi was responding to a conversation we had earlier with Carl Cox, principal at Ratings Africa, as we were taking a look at the Municipal Financial Sustainability Index. And unfortunately, the dialogue level of unsustainability that it reveals around the financial management of our municipalities. So you too can join us for that conversation. That all took place in the first hour of tonight's show, but we are shifting gears, moving into the second hour of Kaya Biz this evening. And of course, we're going to talk all things around entrepreneurship, small and medium-sized enterprises. Well known and dubbed to be significant propellers and catalysts for economic growth and, of course, addressing our employment challenges or unemployment challenges, rather. But are we doing enough to support them at their different stages of growth, providing the right funding and support, mentorship, and most importantly, ensuring a sense of sustainability? All of this is going to be responded to, and of course some insight and nuggets and gems of wisdom that will be shared by the head of SME segment at FNB, Andiswa Bata.
Kaya Biz with Google at 4P
on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.
It's 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. If you've just joined us, we are having a conversation around the world of SMEs with Andy Swabata, who is the SME segment head at FNB. Such a pleasure to have you, ma'am.
Thank you for having me. So excited to spend a few minutes with you and the listeners talking about all things small businesses this evening.
Definitely. Always exciting to hear you. And we want to make sure that we can hear you loud and clear. So don't worry. My colleague might just adjust your microphone. Don't stress about it too much. But this is a world that you've entered into in the last few years and really shared a lot more insight and details into its evolution. And maybe let's start there before we take a look at a very intriguing white paper that FNB has actually published. But share your thoughts with us just in terms of some key dynamics that have really shaped and shifted the world of SMEs in South Africa.
So if I reflect on the last few years, obviously COVID was a very big impact.
Yeah.
And if we really think about it, a lot of small businesses were some of the last ones to open again, particularly a lot of the female-owned businesses and industries. Yes. Like personal care, massage parlors, the people who do your hair or your nails, because you have to do that 1 meter away from me.
Yep.
Not to mention some of the females who were then impacted, because we tend to have a greater proportion of women in things like nursing, and they were on the front line of looking after people or serving or still packaging your groceries. So I think one nugget to say is, my goodness, let's just take firstly a leaf out the cap and congratulate all the businesses that bounced back from that.
100%.
And especially all the female-run businesses and the females who are doing it for themselves, because honestly, that was a setback. And I think the first thing we must be very proud of is that. Then I think the next thing that really stands out for me, unfortunately, then, is that straight out of COVID into quite a lot of structural challenges. Mm. And you've just been unpacking some of it now with your previous speaker around service delivery. And by far the most important one is probably load shedding and its impact on small businesses, because they're the ones that can't afford back power typically. And just to share a stat with you on that, recently we did a customer survey and 5,000 of our customers, our business customers. And within the SME segment, we asked the question, what do you do when load shedding hits?
Ooh.
And 11% of our small businesses said they have to just shut down and wait for the lights to come back on.
11% is a big number.
It is. Mm. And 27% of them said that they carry on, but with limited turnover. Mm. So that's almost 40% of them who actually have a profound impact when load shedding hits.
Mm.
And to make it quite practical, imagine 8 hours of load shedding when we're at the peak. That can be very crippling for a butchery. The meat goes rotten in the fridge. Those are the practical things that I think have impacted the landscape, and yet we see small businesses being resilient, bouncing back, and hustling every day to still employ people and grow.
Yeah. And Andy, so this is really important, because what you're underscoring here again is, of course, the importance of the economic contribution that SMMEs make to the country. Go ahead. We'll continue to shift your mic. But I think it's important that we do talk through some of these statistics, that we make it practical, that the butcher, the farmer, the bread maker, all of these entrepreneurs really contribute significantly to economic growth in South Africa.
Sure. And so I think that's also part of why I really enjoy such engagements as the one I'm having with you. And so I'm really hoping for some engagement as well. because I think when we talk in very high level and economic terms, we can sometimes miss some of the stuff on the ground that impacts the hairdresser that can no longer dry your hair because they've been load shed, as an example. So I think for how important small businesses are to us, I think it's always important for us to also simplify the messaging around also the opportunities for them.
Yes.
Because it makes it real and it keeps it on a practical level.
Definitely. And we're going to talk about some of those solutions. We're going to make it real. We're going to make it practical. And this is your invite, essentially, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as someone who might be familiar with an entrepreneur and walk that journey with them. It can be stressful sometimes, from bootstrapping all the way to looking for a loan and, of course, seeking further growth opportunities. Dial in 086-000-959. Feel free to share your voice notes too on 063-688-0959. We're happy to take your questions as we are in conversation with the SME segment head at FNB, Andiswa Bata. Andiswa, keeping again with the contribution of the various sectors of small and medium enterprises in South Africa, let's talk about an obvious factor that when I speak to entrepreneurs, they always bemoan: funding. You work for a bank, and I can imagine it's often the first thing that an entrepreneur says: I've got this fantastic idea, I need to scale, just give me a couple of rands.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that's not necessarily where one needs to start. Talk us through that journey in terms of fully observing and being aware of what it is you require, and then how that shifts into your funding requirements.
So I think for any sustainable business, no matter whether you are still starting out or a big business, actually at the core of it is, what need are you solving for?
Mm.
Because that ultimately speaks to the client base you're going to be servicing. And therefore, you then build a business plan around it, and you get to understand how much you can charge for your services or your goods. And then you come to, do I need funding or additional funding in order to fund that dream? Whereas a lot of entrepreneurs tend to start at the front, which is to say, I have an idea, but don't put in some of that more granular work and then still ask for funding.
Mm.
And then, so I think that's the first real thing to highlight is, what are you solving for? What sets you apart, and what's going to make sure that you're actually going to be sustainable such that you can attract the funding that you need? Then I think the next step, typically, or where we come a little bit unstuck, is the following. South Africa, as we all know, does not have a business credit bureau.
Yes.
As a result, especially for people who are still starting out a business, their personal credit track record tends to be the proxy for your business borrowing track record.
Say that again for many of us who don't understand, because if my shopping habits are terrible as Gugule Tumfupi, then Gugule Tumfupi Inc. will also be compromised, because I have an obsession with shoes, which is not ideal.
Especially because, as I say, if your business is starting out and it hasn't actually started to generate any revenue, let alone profits yet, then the best place to start to say, where is the potential affordability, and what is this person's personal track record around willingness and commitment to repaying their obligations?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the obvious place to start is in your personal capacity.
Mm.
So because the future and the proxy of business borrowing is often tied to the founder. It is very important then to make sure that even if you're thinking of applying for funding in the business capacity, the directors need to keep a clean sheet.
Yep.
So absolutely avoiding arrears and something as really tiny as your gym subscription bouncing 1 month and causing a bit of a dishonorable track record can be some of those softer indicators that say, can this person manage their finances?
Yes.
And therefore, can we trust them with business funding too?
Mm. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Andy Swabata, who is the SME segment head at FNB, helping us fully unpack the SME story in South Africa. Again, a very important sector that does make up more than 90% of formal businesses in the country and contributes at least 34% of our national GDP. It's important. It's critical. It speaks to the livelihood of systems, of environments, and of course, the economy overall. So entrepreneurs and those who actively participate in growing, developing and scaling SMEs need to be very aware of the opportunities that exist, but the responsibility you have as an entrepreneur, as Andy Swa has mentioned, especially when it comes to managing your finances adequately. And this is so important, Andy Swa, because again, people are very quick to say there's no money or I'm not getting the funding. But you, as you said, need to reciprocate that behavior by adequately managing your finances and also doing your research to understand the various options of funding that actually exist and how that plays a role within your business and its potential growth.
So before we even talk about some of those potential options, I actually want to unpack the next step, which is then obviously keep a clean sheet, as we've said. That's just good hygiene and habits anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think the next step typically is to then determine the following. Just because you are the founder, you actually still from the beginning need to be quite clear that you separate your business and personal finances.
Yeah.
In the sense that if you are still somebody who is a salaried employee and you start a business, whatever business income comes in, be sure that you then put that into your business account.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because if you continue to commingle your accounts, you will never really know if your business is actually able to stand on its own 2 feet or if it is being subsidized by the fact that you have another personal income.
Sure.
Therefore, when you come to apply for finance for that business, what case are you stating in terms of that business's performance?
Mm-hmm.
So something that I like to encourage entrepreneurs to do, especially you might not realize the importance of this, have the discipline to make sure that you do operate a personal versus business account. Have then also the discipline, notwithstanding the fact that it's so easy to do everything in physical cash.
Yeah.
Try and make sure that you then deposit that into an account so that you can have the track record
yes.
that shows your business performance.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're receiving all your business income in physical cash and then you're paying your suppliers and your staff,
mm-hmm.
none of that has a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
And when you then now want to build a case for why you are fundable, unfortunately, you lack the paper trail with which in order to evidence affordability for your business.
Definitely.
Then, as you say, the very key next step thereafter is to better understand exactly what different pools of funding exist out there. And it does range everything from your friends and your family to angel investors to fintechs to banks to the government.
Yes.
And sometimes you also can fund your business by simply putting certain things on pre-order and collecting on the revenue upfront, which then ultimately funds your production costs before you actually have to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So different ways to slice and dice that part, which I'm very happy for us to delve into a bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
There's questions.
Definitely. And we will address some of those questions. Andy, so we're also taking some questions from some of our listeners who've dialed in on 086-000-0959. Happy to also take your voice notes on 063-688-0959. We have a question from Zali in Kempton Park. Zali, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Mother of the money.
Oh, Papas, how are you, sir? Zali, what's your question?
Interesting topic. Actually, not a question as such, but a comment and a thank you, so to speak, to the banks. So I run a billboard company, and one of the things that FNB particularly has helped me with was we have clients that don't pay us, invoices don't get paid on the same day. So sometimes it's very difficult to set a date on your debit orders. But what they have done for my business is, often when a debit order is due on the 1st and an invoice gets paid on the 5th, they'll probably hold that that debit order, knowing that my track record is by the 5th there'll be money in the account. And that has helped us keep a clean sheet, and it has helped us grow as a business as well. So I want to commend them on that one.
I'm glad that you say that. I'm also just keen to understand, Zali, the kind of growth that you've seen since you've started your business and maybe even, you know, formed a partnership with the bank. Just that we understand, you know, it's one solution, but it does have ripple effects. Can you tell us more about that?
So the growth, I mean, in which the business has grown, even how, you know, our monies have been handled by the bank, was that this is a business that started from my bedroom, and now we are in an office park with 6 employees. We have grown our inventory of billboards by, say, about 8 more since we started in 2016. We've now gone into digital screen and advertising.
Really?
So, I mean, you know, with the advice we're getting from our bankers and all of that, it has helped us grow. I mean, even with understanding tax, that's one thing we like to get education on as SMEs. Understanding your tax obligation and know that, you know, what's VAT versus personal income tax, and, you know, pay as we earn and all of those things. Having a banker with the bank that we're with now, I mean, it helps us a lot. So I must say, you know, it's very commendable how they help SMEs grow.
Zali, you sound like the father of the money, sir.
Lalel.
Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it. That's Zali from Kempton Park, who's shared his perspective on how banks do play a major role in making SMEs successful. And I think this is a very important point here, Andiswa, because as he's mentioned, there's tax, there's understanding, you know, the various types of tax that you need to comply with. And of course, managing that effectively with the necessary track record. Talk us through this, because it is a consideration that is very important.
It most certainly is. And maybe I'll first reflect on some of his comments and utterances, sure, which I'm so grateful for. Thank you very much for that positive feedback. And what I think he's just illustrated actually is a concept called good standing.
Yes.
That when you have kept that clean sheet that I'm describing, and especially if you then communicate effectively with your bank to say, this is just a wrinkle, I just need an extra day. Typically, the fact that you are already in good standing is something that buys you some leeway and some grace. Now, let's talk about some of those other nitty-gritties, because they can hold you back also from getting the funding you need.
Right.
Because part of good standing also means that you are still adequately and up to date in terms of your SIPC business registration. It means that you are tax compliant, because obviously from a moral perspective, it would be very awkward for financial institutions or anyone to still provide you with funding if you have a massive outstanding tax issue that you have not resolved for many, many, many years, as for an sure example. And so all of these disciplines actually speak to the good governance that a lot of entrepreneurs, in the pursuit of running the business and hustling and growing,
yep,
and being the sales head and the HR head and the head of operations and the delivery guy, sometimes they sometimes forget that these things are so important. And I'm so appreciative the caller in particular mentioned payroll, because making sure that you calculate the PAYE properly and use the tools that you have available to you, such as one that we have called Instant Payroll, are exactly the tools that are out there for entrepreneurs to use, yeah, to make sure that they actually comply. And so I'm so pleased that he touched on so many layers that also actually contribute towards how you're setting yourself up to be funding ready.
Definitely. Very important to make sure that you are adequately prepared to be funding ready. And it goes back to the basics. And even if you don't understand some of these basics, there is often a lot of support, not only issued by the banks, but accountants and other peers in the industry and business coaches who can literally hold your hand and guide you through this particular journey. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We are in conversation with Andiswa Bata, SME segment head at FNB. And we are talking about the SME story in South Africa. Everything from understanding their contribution to the economy, the various funding options that might be necessary through the various stages of growth, understanding how to prepare yourself for it adequately. And most importantly, we will, of course, get some insight as to how to remain resilient as entrepreneurs. We are in conversation with Andiswa Bata, the SME segment head at FNB, talking all things to do with the SME story in South Africa, really getting some perspective and refreshing ideas and context around how we as entrepreneurs do need to position ourselves for growth as the funding is available. Our contribution to the economy is accounted for. There's ongoing opportunities for growth and scope for success. But you as an entrepreneur need to meet the financial institutions halfway by also adequately preparing yourself for the growth that you require. And Andy, so before we took a break, we did get a call from Zali, who was sharing his experience, works within the advertising space, started his business at home, then of course has scaled now to employ South Africans and work from a designated office area. And that reminds me of growth. It's scale. It's what all entrepreneurs want, but the journey to get there and the kind of funding that one requires in order to get there is unique, depending on the kind of organization you have and the stage of growth that you're at. I know that there's a plethora of options that are available out there, but maybe just talk us through a few that would apply to entrepreneurs at different stages of their business life.
I was really encouraged to hear about his invoicing activities, because that's often where you actually start, is that you provide some sort of a service and then you invoice, typically sometimes a big corporate, in order to then receive some cash flow. And so something that is quite applicable, particularly then for those earlier stage businesses, is something like invoice financing or invoice discounting, mm-hmm. as it's known. In other words, if that invoice will only be paid in, let's say, 60 days, but you need the money today to restock, it is possible to furnish that invoice and be able to access some of the money up front for then the equivalent of what a short-term interest rate would have been for a short-term borrowing.
Yes.
So things like invoice discounting, even when you don't have ready financial statements and a longer track record or things like that, are actually some of the more nimble financing options for businesses that are just starting out. Then I think for when businesses have met certain horizons and they're more stable and their turnover is more stable, that's when we see that they then seek to buy more asset-based finance or take out more asset-based finance.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? Effectively, imagine if your business still is starting out with erratic turnover, probably not the best thing to do to go and buy a big business premises and have a big commercial property finance loan that you're now having to repay even on the low months when you don't have the cash flow. So typically we see some of those, let's call it asset-based financing options, kick in for businesses that have a little bit more track record. Mm-hmm. Then there are those who have even reached the peak and are now ready to exit the business and sell to a new owner. And for that, there's then various types of private equity funding and acquisition finance that's available. The point is, though, Gugu, and to the listeners, there are different types of funding that are naturally more suitable to your business life stage. And it's up to us to make sure that we have as many of those available, but also that entrepreneurs empower themselves with scratching below the surface to determine the best option.
Definitely. And that's so important that you mentioned that, to really look at those opportunities, you know, scratch below the surface, look at what the best option is. And what I'm also encouraged by, Andy, so before we do get to a few voice notes that ask a few questions, share some experiences, I can imagine that on a day-to-day basis, you must hear a wide variety of stories and experiences from entrepreneurs who literally have to continue to show a level of resilience. And I'm keen to understand what some of the main characteristics are that add to their success and their sustainability in the industry, because as we know, this is quite a journey in terms of choppy waters that entrepreneurs will experience.
The environment's tough, but entrepreneurs are so resilient, as you say. And if I look at then some of the ones that I deal with, as I do almost on a daily basis, what stands out to me about those businesses that ultimately succeed? If anything, the first one is a positive attitude. You need one to get through some of the challenges that
even
you're going
through. Even on the bad days.
Being an optimist helps.
Yeah.
Being positively wired to bouncing back helps a lot. And that's not something you can teach. It's just something that's wired. And it's a resilience that I am so proud that so many entrepreneurs tend to hold within South Africa. Then I think those entrepreneurs that succeed get the following concept very early, that what you had to do to start the business may not be the same thing you need to do to grow and scale and eventually become a bigger corporate.
Yes.
And some of that might mean that you yourself as the founder is not fit for purpose to do everything that you thought you needed to do in the business. So sometimes it's about putting the formal structures, the accountability to yourself as the founder for carrying through some of your growth goals. that actually make those entrepreneurs stand the test of time. It's really tough to deal very messily and still succeed long term. So a positive attitude, can-do attitude, often helps. And then actually sorted outedness and doing some of these boring things we were mentioning earlier, like staying compliant and putting in the structures and the succession plans that allow you to bring in the talent you need for different parts or stages of your business.
You mentioned succession, and that's a whole nother conversation that is actually so critical for entrepreneurs, because at times the vision often dies with the person who founded it. And we do need to make sure that as we create new businesses that they are sustainable. If you're just joining us, we're speaking to Andy Swabata, who is the SME segment head at FNB, talking all things around the SME story and helping us unpack not only the financing options, but levels of compliance and admin that we need to stick to. And of course, some encouragement in terms of the sustainable aspects that entrepreneurs do need to implement. If you do have your voice notes, send them through very quickly so that we can share some of your thoughts and your questions. 063-688-0959. But I must tell you, Andy, so we have a comment here from WhatsApp that is from Dave Rent to Buy. Clearly, marketing is business as well. So that's a sharp move.
Love it for you, Dave.
Right? He says, hi, Kuku. Nice show. Very informative in terms of business. I have one question for Andy Swa. FNB used to have Biz Connect, where they used to host in Soweto once in 3 months. Can FNB bring it back, please?
If anything, I'm so grateful, actually, for that nudge, because especially during COVID, I think we lost a few of those local market connection and activations. And it's something I'm really passionate about reigniting on a major scale. So, yes, we do have some of those activities that are driven by our regional teams, because we also understand that each community is different and each market and region is different. And also then the nuances and who needs to do business with each other within their own ecosystem close by. Actually, it ends up becoming a little bit of an ecosystem builder, even though then it is within our name. True. So it is exactly the kind of things that, if anything, I'm really looking forward to us reigniting at scale, because it is important for the community. Thank you, Dave, for nudging me. My chair is feeling very hot. I promise to do something about it.
I'm glad. Well done, Dave. Well, we have another voice note as well from Manda, who also has an intriguing question for us. Let's hear from him.
Good evening, Kuku, and your guest there. I just want to ask, is there only funding for businesses that are already up and running, or is there ever funding for startups, even if maybe it's a small amount, as a startup business, like recently registered and then you need a bit of funding?
Fantastic. Question on funding for startups.
Typically, we see that startups are funded in one of two main ways. The first one is through grant funding, and a very big aspect of that is provided through various government agencies. But actually, also, typically, some of the banks do have some grant funding allocation, which is available. That's the first aspect. And the reason why I say grant funding is because grant funding does not carry an obligation to repay. At least typically that's the terms and conditions. And if your business has yet to establish a track record and show that you can repay, then you do need more developmental or concessionary funding in order to get going. Because if you then are required to start repaying within month one or month two and your cash flow hasn't caught up, you're going to fall into default, and then we've done you a disservice by giving you a loan. So that is the first part, typically, is to look at grant funding, and I would encourage the caller to please look into that and the options there. Then the next typical way that startups actually fund themselves is through the following. So let's say it's myself, Andy Swell, who is a salaried employee, and I'm looking to now start up and fuel my side hustle. Because typically, banks at least need to have some sort of income that they can show is going to be what's used to repay, they can then rely on your personal income as an indicator of how much you can borrow to then fund your business, as an example. Yeah. And why is it that way? Because sometimes we get challenged on that to say, why can't you give me the money before I can show you the affordability?
Mm.
While understand, please, listeners, where we get that money from to fund you, the big part of it is deposit holder funding. In other words, it's our deposit taking activities. Yes. It's all the positive balances sitting in everybody's check account and savings account.
My money, your money, exactly. My colleague's money that is going to fund you
exactly.
to fund your business.
Mm. And we have to then make sure that we protect that by putting it to uses on the funding side, mm-hmm. where there is actually a line of sight into it being repaid.
Yeah.
And then the second reason why that's important is because from a regulatory perspective, we do have the National Credit Act that does require banks to make sure that we have acted as a responsible lender. And in a nutshell, to simplify that, simply means we have shown that somebody can afford to repay this.
Definitely.
And if there's nothing to go on, or not even any assets to pledge or put up as security or to help, nothing at all, then we would have also failed in our duty to protect those deposit holder funds and to stay in line with regulations. That's why that's the approach.
Definitely. So important that you highlight that so that we understand the rules of the lay of the landscape, but the options that still do exist. Andy, so I thoroughly enjoy not only getting into the minds of entrepreneurs around why they start their businesses, what the vision is, as well as the growth. And I can imagine when you hear some of the stories of the businesses that you support, it must be incredibly exciting. But I also know that it can be anxiety-inducing for entrepreneurs. 2024 is one of those years where we are in an election year in South Africa, and we've been asking top CEOs and executives as to what keeps them up at night. What are their concerns about this intersection of politics and business? But given that SMMEs contribute a significant amount to our GDP, I think it's also important for us to allay some of their fears around the intersection and interplay of business, politics, and what it means for their enterprises. Give us some insight, you know, for an entrepreneur who might be anxious about this year, so many moving parts. Typically, what engagements do you have with them to allay their fears?
I think the biggest thing that concerns any entrepreneur that I talk to is whatever outcome comes from the election, what difference is it going to make to the service delivery?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, that's where the rubber hits the road, or the tacky hits the tar, as they say. Because when you're running a business, it is the power supply issues that hold you back. Not just because you can't operate your business optimally, but because it also means that if you have to go make a delivery to your client of something that's been ordered, the fact that the traffic lights are out on the way delays you, and how many deliveries you can make in a day, if you're a florist, as an example.
Mm.
Then never mind things like the potholes, and then some of the frequent water outages, et cetera, et cetera. So if anything, I think for me, it's not even so much about who's going to rule. It's more, please, can we get the basic service delivery that we need in order to take away just those basic stumbling blocks? Because once I've found that, once you remove or set those things in place, if anything, businesses are not sitting there waiting for a handout.
True.
They're not asking for any favors. They simply need the environment to be conducive.
Yeah.
Basics. That's what I think is the expectation and the angst point, and the one that I really do hope, no matter what the political outcome, we still see the delivery.
Definitely. We need the delivery, we need the innovation, we need the support, and we need the entrepreneurial spirit. As you've heard Andiswa mention, it's a positive attitude, resilience, finding the sustainable structures in place in order to facilitate growth, and most importantly, the adequate financial management practices that do set you up for additional support as you look to scale your business through its trajectory. That was my guest this evening. Such a pleasure in having you with us, Andy. So truly appreciate it. That was Andy Swabata, SME segment head at FNB, joining us to really talk about the story of SMEs in South Africa. You contribute to growth. You generate trillions of rand within the township economy. Of course, contribute significantly to our GDP, at least 34%. So when we say SMEs, we're certainly not talking about anything small within the enterprise space, given the contribution that you make within our economy. If you missed it live,
Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.